The Me Too movement has touched every facet of the entertainment industry, but what about the professional sports world? In her new book, Sideline, Sports Culture and Being a Woman in America, award-winning journalist, former sports radio host, and Deadspin editor Julie DeCaro tackles the myriad ways sexism pervades sports at all levels, from condescending coverage of women's pro sports to high barriers that women face breaking into and excelling in sports media, to male athletes and managers who abuse their partners yet face minimal consequences. DeCaro examines the destructive impact that misogyny has on athletes, sports reporters, and yes, fans alike. The book, Sidelined, Sports Culture and Being a Woman in America. It is published by Dutton, and we welcome Julie DeCaro to the roundtable this morning. Julie, thank you very much for being with us. It's great to have you aboard.
Hey, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Well, wonderful. Very nice to hear your voice. What brought you to want to get this out in the open? I mean, obviously, these are topics that you have addressed over the years, but to address it in this way.
Yeah, you know, I spend a lot of time screaming into the void on Twitter about things that upset me in the industry. And every time I would do it, you know, of course, there's all the blowback from people who just don't want to hear it. But I would also get tons of messages from women in the industry saying, oh, I'm so glad you said that. I wanted to say it, but I can't because this reason or that reason. And so, you know, the more that I was talking to other women in the industry, the more we realized that we were having very similar experiences, even though I think we all felt like we were the only one. And so I wanted to write a book that didn't just tell my story, but included the stories of you know, some really prominent women in sports media who are saying, you know, this is how I feel sometimes, or this is what I've gone through, or here's what happened to me. And I think it's really important. You mentioned Me Too at the top. You know, we haven't really had a Me Too movement in sports. And you know, we talk about why that is. So, you know, I it's one thing when you feel like an outlier, you know, to want to tell a story and to say, this is what my life is like. But, you know, when I started hearing it from more and more people and realizing how similar our stories all were, it felt like there was something there profound that needed to be said.
So a couple things to follow up on what you just said, one of them being that, as I indicated in the introduction, that you look at athletes, you look at managers, you look at many aspects of the business, but you started from the place of sports media, which is a really interesting place to start, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that, you know, it's one of the industries left that is still dominated by men. You know, we see that in STEM industries. I've been told that that's the case in the music industry. In sports media, it's, you know, you a lot of times are the only woman in the room, and it's been that way for decades. So it felt like, you know, whatever issues we talk about with women in American society, those issues are all sort of writ large and sort of on steroids when it comes to sports media because there are so few women.
And it always has been a challenge. And while there are more women now than there were perhaps in the past, although I have no data on that, so you may be able to blow that right out of the water, but it's still the question is why and what can change it? Because I mean, I would hope at some point maybe there were more women. I don't know, but it you would hope that it's better at some point. It was better than it was now.
Yeah, it's, you know, there are more women in sports media across the board. If you take ESPN out of the mix, though, that number goes down dramatically.
Yeah.
You know, ESPN has been one of the rare outlets that, at least when you turn on the TV, looks very diverse. You know, and we don't have that in a lot of other outlets. When I worked in sports talk radio, you know, for my weekday show, the only time I ever saw another woman was when I went to the bathroom and ran into someone from another station. So, you know, I think that there is a component of you have to see it to be it, right? I mean, I went to journalism school wanting to cover sports, but didn't see many women doing it and didn't see the path there. So I wound up going to law for, you know, several years before I wound up making my way into sports media. And I think that that's an issue. I think the online harassment is an issue that I talk to young women on college campuses, and I've had so many say to me, I wanted to be a sports reporter, but I see the harassment you guys deal with, and so I'm just going to go into PR instead. not that there's anything wrong with PR, but I mean, we definitely need women in the reporting side in sports. So there's a lot of issues sort of working in conjunction, and we have come far. I mean, when you look back, you know, 40 years ago, right, women had to sue, Melissa Ludke infamously had to sue to get into Major League Baseball's locker rooms. The problem is that we haven't come nearly far enough in that time. And so while, you know, I think that everyone at that time thought those women smashed through the glass ceiling, they held the door open for the stampede of women coming behind them. But there's been a lot of factors that have kept women from really taking advantage of that.
You also make the case that not only are – so male reporters will get the best access to players, and the women that were barred from reporting in locker rooms, yes, in the 70s, led to a big battle, but that access has not changed dramatically now. And you also talk about how part of the problem is the fans, whether that be on air or in person or online. Women are very much downplayed, which is the most polite way I can put it, in their role in sports reporting.
Yeah, that's right. So women are sort of limited largely, and I was one of the outliers having a weeknight sports show where I could give my opinion. But it seems that, like, overall, we are limited to roles in which we are soliciting opinions from men or we're regurgitating facts. So you can be a sideline reporter, which is an incredibly demanding job, and the people who are good at it are very good at it. But, you know, you're basically telling – regurgitating what the male coaches tell you or what the male players tell you. You know, you can be the host of a show where it's a panel discussion and you are constantly soliciting opinions from all the men around you, but never get to give your own. So roles where women actually get to be part of the main action, either in the broadcast booth or because their opinion is being sought and valued, are pretty rare. We're starting to see, you know, some inroads in the broadcast booth. We're starting to see some inroads with women, you know, being able to talk about things like football without, 50,000 people screaming at you online that you never played the game. What do you know about it? Well, I don't know much about Howard Cosell's storied football career or Al Michaels' storied football career. So there's really no reason that women can't do the same thing.
Yeah, and just by the way it's designed is messed up, because you have the announcer, the aforementioned Al Michaels, or yes, going way back, even Howard Cosell. But then you have the color analyst, who is usually a former player who in the sports world is a male, because that's the sport that they're covering. So whether it be Tony Romo or someone in a baseball booth, Keith Hernandez or whoever, then that's the way it's set up. So just by its design, it's flawed for women.
It's true. And I think that one of the great things that we've seen in the past couple of years is Candace Parker get a slot on the pregame and postgame shows. And you see her dismantle Shaquille O'Neal on a regular basis. She knows her basketball IQ is so much higher. She knows so much more about the game. And I love seeing her out there because, you know, there are women out there who have played these sports, even football. There are women who have played football, maybe not in the NFL, but there are pro football leagues out there that women play in. There are women who play baseball. Not that any of these things should be a prerequisite for, you know, having that job, because certainly you can know a lot about a game and be able to analyze a game for the fans without having played it yourself. But if we're going to limit it to people who have played the game, there are plenty of women out there that have played the games as well.
You write about this, and it's an interesting point to me about how acts of sexual assault and domestic violence committed by players and management are swept under the rug. And you at the time tweeted about the complicated legacy of Kobe Bryant. And here is a guy who died tragically, and the outpouring was very strong, but you did talk about the complications, which of course is that a settlement of a sexual assault charge, a very serious sexual assault charge, we should add. So how do we come to terms with that? And we can take it out even when grief is involved, but just in general of how you deal with it.
It's difficult because we're always asking the question, how long do we have to keep bringing this up? Like, how long do we remind people that Ben Roethlisberger was right. accused by multiple women? How long do we remind people of, you know, Ray Rice? It's one of those things that we struggle with. And having been a criminal defense attorney, like, I struggle with this because I've also worked for victims and I see both sides of it. I think the reason that we struggle with it so much is because we never feel like we truly get any closure. You get an investigation and, you know, half the people will believe it and half the fans won't believe it. And, the victim gets nothing usually. And the guy gets suspended for, you know, however many games by the league. And then it comes back and you're not supposed to talk about it anymore. And I think that especially if you're a person who has been sexually assaulted, been in an abusive relationship, it's difficult to move past that when you feel like, a player is just allowed to rehabilitate his image without much of a consequence. And I really struggled with Kobe Bryant. I know what he meant to so many people. And certainly the sexual assault allegation is not the sum total of his life. And his death was no less tragic because of the sexual assault case that was filed against him. A lot of people don't know he was actually charged in criminal court. But at the same time, you know, I had a lot of people who are sexual assault survivors coming to me and saying, both men and women, I'm really uncomfortable with the way that we're talking about this and the sort of deification that's happening of Kobe Bryant, because, his attorney did sort of create a playbook for how you yeah. shame a woman into dropping a case against a famous person. Her name was leaked to the media. Kobe Bryant was reportedly asking her constantly to drop the charges. There was a lot of pressure on her. They delve into her past life. They talked about her mental health. They talked about, you know, whether or not she had tried to commit suicide. Just all kinds of things that no one would ever want out there. And this is still the way that sexual assaults and domestic violence cases are handled when a famous person is involved today. So it was sort of a watershed moment, but because it happened before social media, a lot of the facts are have been misconstrued or gotten completely wrong by people. And I felt like there was a conversation there to be had about who gets to rehabilitate their image and how you go about rehabilitating your image, because it's not the same for everyone.
Julie, I'm afraid we have to go. I promised your people I would have you off in time for your next gig, and so I will do that to make sure that I have future bookings. Julie DeCaro is the author of Sideline. Thank you very much for being with us.